to see you here this morning. I think the number of sick folks we have today are about as long as your arm, and so we don't have nearly as many as we ordinarily do, but you're here and the Lord's here. And he knew you were going to be here, and he is ready to bless you. And so we're glad that you're here, whether you're a member. We got visitors, and we're always glad to have them to come and be a part of the fellowship. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Remind you, down here on the front pew, there are these little brochures that we would like for you to hand out. There's some like this that are just plain, some that have a ribbon in there. If you'll go around the neighborhood and hand them out, if somebody's not there, just put the one with a ribbon around it, around the doorknob, and leave it. We're not asking you to go knock on doors of folks that are faithful in other churches, but folks that aren't going to church. And on the back, it's got special events, and they have homecoming down. And so that's what, just a couple of weeks till we have homecoming. So I don't know, half a dozen of you signed up last week. It's a legal sheet here if you'll sign up so that we'll know which road that you're going to go on. And that way we'll have a good representation of the community and not go three people down one road and a road totally skipped. So just keep that in mind. And if grab it, sign up, take a few of these and hand them out. Or you may have a place of work. You may have some church. You may have some friends or family that don't go to church anywhere. That'd be you can invite to homecoming. Remember, Leonard and his group, the Towers, will be singing, and we look forward to that very much. Maybe pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house. And first, Father, I thank you for your presence. Where two or three are assembled, you there you are in the midst. And so, Father, I thank you for your presence. Father, I thank you for those that are gathered here, those that might be in the parking lot listening on the radio, on the car, those that might be listening later on the website. Father, I pray that each person, whether present in the building or in some other place listening to the message and the music, will feel your sweet presence. Lord, that we'll hear a message from you, not a message from Ed, but a message from you. And Father, we do lift up those that are not feeling well today, those that just had surgery, got out of the hospital, those that might have strep throat or some other ailment. I lift them all up to you, Lord. You know who they are. You know the pain and suffering that they might be in at this moment. But Father, I pray that you'll touch them with your presence. Lord, we want to tell you that we worship you, we praise you, we honor you. King of kings and Lord of lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Everyone, this morning we're going to start our opening song with What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and he is one of our best friends, as always. We're singing all three verses, so stand with me.
Jesus. morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning, especially our visitors. Come back and be with us anytime. We're kind of few in number today, but we're glad everyone's here. We appreciate what everybody does for the church. We'll go to our announcement. Today, we'll have the normal children's worship at 10:15. Sunday worship will be 10 with the Reverend Louder. There will be no youth meeting tonight due to sickness, and there will not at 5. There won't be adult prayer time or adult training. We're canceling both things today due to sickness. Upcoming events for this week: 6:30 adult Bible study. Next Sunday will be our regular Sunday school at 9. Worship service at 10. 10:15 children worship, and no evening services. The special event coming up we need to keep on our calendars in our mind will be homecoming, September 7th. Fill your picnic basket and join us for a worship service with the Towers, and they'll be here bringing the message in song for us today, the 7th. Does anybody have any other announcements we need to bring before the church this morning? Be for the deacons, September 3rd. Okay. Is there anything else? Do we have any prayer requests? Anyone else would need to add? That's great to hear. Okay, we need to especially remember Brother Jim as he's recovering. Has anybody heard anything from Tony and Ruth? Go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life. Dear Father, we thank you for each one that was able to get here today, come and worship you and praise and honor and give you glory that you so richly deserve, dear Father. We ask you to be with us as we depart from here today, dear Lord. Dear Father, we have people that have been brought up today, members of our congregation, folks that are not members. Lord, we know that you know each need and each care. We want to lift them up to you at this time. We want to lift up Brother Jim as he continues to recover from his surgery. We lift up Tony and Ruth as they need to as they are recovering from Tony's recent visit to the hospital. Give him strength. Give him mercy. Bless them as only you can do, dear Father. Dear Father, we ask a special prayer upon Janice's grandson as he received this injury playing football We ask you to heal him and give him a speedy recovery, dear Father. And also Kathy, we lift her up to you this time, dear Lord. Bless her in a mighty way. Miss Sharon Keplinger, Jeff's aunt, we lift her up to you in this time of need. Dear Father, bless her in a mighty way also. And we have a praise report, and we love to hear these praise reports. Donna Hathcock, therefore, we just thank you for this positive cancer report, and we ask you to continue to bless her as she goes this journey and heal her according to your holy will. All these things we ask in your Son's most gracious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand together for one first verse of Worthy of Worship. It's in page 3, but we've got the first verse right up here in the chorus for our hymn of praise today.
Give our North Carolina missions offering, and it goes to missions mostly here in North Carolina. But the thing I like about it is that so much of it goes to disaster relief, the Baptist on mission, rebuilding homes and whatever across the state, and often they go to other states, feeding stations and all of that kind of stuff. So this is a video about that, and we'll see how it goes, okay?
When you give to the North Carolina Missions Offering, you're helping change lives. Living Sent is the heartbeat of this special offering. But what does it mean to live sent? It's not something we do on a mission trip 1 week a year. It's something we're called to do every day of our lives. When you contribute to the North Carolina Missions Offering, you're helping others live sent by supporting the work of church planting, Baptists on Mission, and local associations. Through church planting, you're helping people experience the love of Jesus, often for the very first time. There are millions living in North Carolina who have not been reached with the gospel. The North Carolina Missions Offering is helping plant churches everywhere for everyone. The 19 different ministries of Baptists on Mission help meet physical and spiritual needs of hurting people through the work of disaster relief, rebuild facilities, mobile dental and health screening units, missions mobilization, and more. Gifts to the offering also support mission projects in your community through local Baptist associations. The North Carolina Missions Offering is a way for you to help others experience the love of a personal Savior Living Sent means seeing a need, responding to the need, and offering hope in Jesus' name. Your gifts to the North Carolina Missions Offering help make that possible.
Thank you, Jeff. You know, this is one offering I really get behind as far as believing that my money goes to good use.
Next week I'll have the prayer card and the donation
envelope. All right. It's always, you know, when I was pastoring up in the mountains and a few years ago, and we had that first 100-year flood, and they've had two more since then. And I had former church members from Siler City that came up there and helped rewire houses. It's just interesting to see how we as Baptists have worked across the state, and then we've been to Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, and I had church members up in the mountains that they went to all three places. They went to Florida, they went to West Virginia, they went to Oklahoma, and plus all over North Carolina, working to meet the needs. And I know years ago there was I believe it's Haiti, had a devastation, and North Carolina Baptist on Missions beat the Red Cross there. We were there before the Red Cross ministering to people in trouble. So keep that in mind. Now, if I called any one of you up here and said, I want to ask you about some people, and I named off another church member, I think I'd get one of three answers. You might say, oh, you know, that I know that person. I speak to them, but we're not that close. Or you might say, yeah, we're pretty close. If we have fellowship dinner or something, I like to sit at the table with them and talk. Or you might say a third thing, that's my best friend in the church. I really, really enjoy them. Because, see, we have levels of friendship. It's not that one thing is better than others, but we have levels of friendship. Now, if I ask you the same question about your relationship with God, what would you say? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I know the Lord. But, you know, God, the Lord and I aren't on that close of terms. Or you might say, well, I'm saved, and the Lord and I get along pretty good, and I pray, and we talk. And then you might say, you know, the Lord and I are best friends. I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to read my Bible. I can't wait to spend time in prayer. He and I are just really, really close. We have different levels of relationship with the Lord. Now, where are you in that picture? Are you close, not so close, or even further away from the Lord? Are you satisfied with the relationship that you have with the Lord? Let's look at some Bible scriptures. First one's going to be in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And the background of this is that Israel has just been freed from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They come to Mount Sinai where they're going to meet with the Lord. The Lord's going to give them the Ten Commandments and other instructions. And so in Exodus 20, beginning at verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for the Lord has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. Now, I don't know whether this was a volcanic eruption or a tremendous storm or just a supernatural occurrence that God sent particularly for that purpose, but they show up at the mountain, and they're at the foot of the mountain, and all of a sudden it's wild. It's fearsome. And the people all back up and say, no, wait a minute. Whoa. Moses, you go talk to God, and you come back and tell us what God has to say. We don't want to get any closer. And Moses said, now, don't be afraid. God's just testing you. God is just strengthening you. God is just proving you. But the people, instead of that, they were afraid. They were afraid. Now, it's one thing to have an awesome respect and honor, as we just sang, worthy of worship, for the Lord God. It's another thing to be afraid. That's a whole different animal, whole different ballgame. God doesn't want us afraid of him. God wants us to honor him, to respect him, because after all, he's the creator of the universe, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is our Lord, our Savior. We want to honor the Lord, but not be afraid of him. Now, why are people afraid of the Lord? Let me give you some reasons. One, we are totally in disobedience. Adam and Eve sinned, and what they do? They went and hid themselves. Total disobedience. Jonah had a word from the Lord, and it said, God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah headed in the other direction. He didn't want anything to do with what God was doing. I found it interesting, you know, after being a pastor for 60-something years, most of the time, not all the time, but when people drop out of church, they've been faithful for years, they drop out of church, it's because, and you see them in the, at Walmart, and they see you coming, and they know it's a preacher, and they duck down a different aisle. They don't want to talk to you. It's because of sin. The husband or the wife got in an affair, or somebody started drinking, or somebody's embezzling funds at their job, or something else. It's some major sin. Now, not everybody that drops out, it's like that, but I found I could name so many, maybe some that you'd even know, but I won't do that. That, well, why doesn't so-and-so come to church anymore? Oh, you didn't know they were having an affair with blah, blah, blah. We are afraid of God. Sometimes it's more of a nagging awareness. You know, every time I get close to God, he reminds me I need to forgive Joe or Bill or Sue or whoever. Every time I get close to God, he reminds me that I don't tithe and I need to be a tither. And sometimes we're afraid of God because we don't want him to tell us to do something. This week I met a man, I don't really know him. He said he's been here a couple of times when we were having revival. He's faithful in another church. And he asked me if I knew another preacher, and I don't. But then he talked about maybe that preacher's grandson, and he says, you know, said I'm running. The grandson says he's running from God because he don't want to be a preacher. God's calling him to be a preacher, and he's running from God because he doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. He doesn't want to be around the Lord, because he's afraid God wants him to be a preacher, or, you know, God will send me to the mission field or whatever. Folks, I'm glad I didn't run from God 60-something years ago. I think some of the saddest people I know are the guy that's 55 years old and says, God's called me to preach when I was 15 and I'm finally surrendering to the Lord 40 years later. That's sad. I've met some wonderful people in the last 60 years. I've enjoyed a lot of fantastic experience in the last 60 years. I'm glad I didn't miss out on any of it. But people are afraid of God. They want to run from God. And I have to laugh about this, though it's not really funny. You know, we as Baptists say we sure are glad we're not Catholic. We don't have to go to the priest for the priest to talk on our behalf. We get to go straight to God. But you know, I think there's some Catholic Baptists. Just like these people here, now preacher, you go talk to God and you tell us what God said. You think about it. Preacher A comes into the church and he preaches a certain way, preaches scripture a certain way. 5 years later, he goes on to Greener Pastures Baptist Church and preacher B comes. He preaches those same scriptures a different way. Well, you know, you accepted what preacher A said. Now you expect what preacher B said. 5 years later, he goes on and the preacher C comes and he preaches those scriptures a third way. Hey, folks, you need to get into the scripture yourself and find out, thus saith the Lord, so that no matter what preacher A, B, or C says, or preacher Ed says, you know what the Bible says. And if preacher A, B, or C comes in, or preacher A, and we don't preach the Bible, you don't have to accept it. Don't be a Catholic Baptist and expect everything to come through the preacher. Get into the Word of God with the Bible, with different translations, the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. These folks, they didn't want to be close to God. They didn't want to be close to God, and it was sad. Now, go over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, and we'll find a totally different attitude. Now, the people didn't change. Exodus 33, verse 7. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from the tabernacle. Now, notice here, Israel is camped. Moses sets up a special tent, and it says anybody that wanted to could go to that tent and seek the Lord. Evidently, it was an open door policy, but it doesn't say everybody went. Then it says when Moses went, the presence of God came down in a special way over that tent. And when everybody saw the presence of God, it says they didn't go rushing down toward the tent to get in the presence of God. They stood at the door of their own tents. They were still a little afraid of God. But it says Moses and God spoke face to face as friends speak to one another. That's wonderful. And then it says when Moses went back to camp, Joshua, Moses' assistant, stayed behind because he wanted his own revelation from God. He wanted his own face-to-face encounter with God. And who took Moses' place when Moses passed away? Joshua. Joshua was equipped to become the second great leader of Israel because he spent his own time with God. He wasn't content to stand at the door of his tent and watch Moses have a relationship with God. He wanted his own relationship with God. And that's so awesome that you can have your own personal relationship with God face to face as a friend. Now, to prove that, go with me to the book of Hebrews. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And to me, this is one of the really, really encouraging passages of Scripture. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. There the writer of Hebrews says, hey, come how? Boldly. Boldly. Into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. You can come boldly into the presence of God. And it's through the blood of Jesus. And we can draw near, verse 22, with a true heart, full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. We are made clean. We're made clean by Jesus. We're welcomed into God's presence by Jesus. Full assurance that we're welcome. Because of Jesus, all of the walls of separation are down. You remember in the temple, there was that Holy of Holies, and nobody could go in but the high priest only once a year. And even then, I understand that they tied a rope around his leg so that if he dropped dead in there, they could pull him out because nobody could have gone in to get him. And I understand that temple veil was a wide, thick thing. It wasn't just a little shower curtain type thing. It was a wide, thick woven cloth. And it says that when Jesus died on the cross, it was ripped from top to the bottom. It wasn't ripped from the bottom up. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. God tore that thing down, and the Holy of Holies became accessible to you and to me. We can all go into the presence of God. We're welcome in the presence of God. And it's because the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross. You see, you don't have to have a far-off relationship with God where you're afraid of him. You don't have to have just a mediocre relationship with God where you and he are pretty good buddies. You can be as close to the Lord as you want to be. And it's amazing when you're around somebody that really walks in the presence of God. There's a glow about their face. There's a joy that's in their hearts. There's a wisdom that comes from their mouth. All because of that walk they have with the Lord that's personal. Having therefore boldness. Boldness. This morning I was thinking about the story of Esther in the Old Testament. You know, she became queen. And there came a time of crisis, and she needed to appeal to the king. Even though she was his bride, his wife, his queen, she could not come into his presence unless he asked for her to come or unless he acknowledged her presence. And it came down where the crunch time, and she had to speak to him. And she says, if I perish, I perish. And she goes to the door of the throne room. The king stretches out his golden scepter toward her. She's welcome to come in. Now, if the king didn't stretch out that golden scepter, those guards at the door were going to take her out and take her life. But the king stretches out his golden scepter, and of course you know the rest of the story. The Jewish people were saved. All because the king stretched out that golden scepter to Esther. But there was doubt. She didn't know until she saw that arm move whether she was going to live or die. Folks, if you read Hebrews, God's already got the scepter out. You don't have to wonder, am I welcome? Am I accepted? Does God want me in his presence? Does God enjoy me in his presence? That scepter is already out for you and for me. Having therefore boldness. You don't have to start to pray and say, well, I wonder if the Lord hears me. Yes, he does. He welcomes you. If sin is putting a blockage, confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's a blockage there, to say, Lord, I'm having trouble getting through to you. And I know it's because of this, that, or the other. So, Lord, I confess that it's a sin. And I put it under the blood of Jesus. And I know that I'm forgiven. And once you do that, you can come right on in boldly into his presence. And, Lord, I come boldly not because Preacher Ed is between me and you, but Lord, it's just you and me. It's just you and me. It's just you and me. And what a joy it is when you can be one-on-one with the Lord. You know, sometimes you're trying your best to talk to somebody and somebody else keeps interfering. You think, this is such a problem. If you'll just go away, I can talk to my friend here. Well, there is no intermediary between you and God if you want to be with him one-on-one personally. Moses had that. Joshua had that. The writer of Hebrews says that is available for every one of us. You don't have to have a priest. You don't have to have anybody else. You can be in his presence. That golden scepter is stretched out. That veil is broken through the blood of the Lord Jesus. I encourage you. I encourage you. Make God a very special friend. Don't be satisfied to be off somewhere. Draw near, draw near. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. That means that you can be just as close to God as Billy Graham was, or Charles Stanley, or anybody else, if we work at it. But you can't be friends with somebody if we don't put some time into it. We don't put some effort into it. I encourage you, learn your Bible for yourself so that you're not swayed. You know, that's why people get into cults. Preacher so-and-so or so-and-so comes along and says this is, and people do these stupid things, and you think, how do they so get so misled? They didn't know the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of stuff that passes as Christian that's no more Christian than Buddhism is. Just because you put a sign out there that says Baptist Church, Christian Church, Methodist Church, whatever, that don't prove a thing. That's just a sign. It all comes down to our relationship with the Lord. Do we know Him? Do we know His Word? I encourage you today, learn to know the Word of God and learn to make God your friend. The golden scepter step is handed out toward you. Not just toward me because I'm the preacher, but to everyone here. God wants to spend intimate fellowship with you. As we have our time of invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if there's someone that needs to walk the aisle and just pray or come share something with me, would you come? Something about the service today. I knew that Tonda was leading the music. She had no clue what I was going to preach. I had no clue what she picked out for music. But what did we sing? What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That went perfect with the message. Without Jesus, we'd surely fail. Do we know Him? Which we just sang, and He is worthy of our worship. It all fits together. It all fits together. And only God can do it that way. Remember, there's these visitation cards here if you would like to come and visit in some area of the community and let folks know that don't go to church, that we would welcome them here at Barbage Grove. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.